7 in the morning. Welcome to my fellow ethics commissioners. So let's get going. Approval of minutes for the meeting on February 19th, item number 2. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Are there any comments? May I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. Motion carries. I don't think we have any representatives from the Neighborhood Council, do we? I don't believe so. Let's move on to item 4. Before we move on to item 4, Ms. Orton?
Yes.
and if I could have the Assistant Director please step forward. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Kirsten Pickenpah, Deputy Director of Enforcement. Our Enforcement Director is under the weather today, so I'm here to present item 4, and with me is Sabrina Gonzalez. She was the lead investigator on this matter. Item 4 is a proposed stipulation in the matter of Angelinos for Safe Transportation PAC, sponsored by LA Taxi Cooperative and South Bay Cooperative Inc. and Marco Soto. This independent expenditure committee distributed two independent expenditure communications during the 2017 election cycle without disclaimers. One of those communications was in support of City Council candidate Gil Cedillo. The other was supporting City Council candidate Curran Price. The maximum potential penalty available in this case is $10,000. Staff is recommending a $5,000 penalty. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
So that is just the standard 50% stipulation.
Yes, we weighed all of the aggravating and mitigating factors and believe that that would be an appropriate resolution.
Could you do me a favor and enunciate what those aggravating and mitigating factors are for the record?
I may have to take a quick peek.
That's
but,
okay.
the aggravating factors were that the violations are serious and they did not seek advice from staff. This is a committee that has been in existence, I believe, since 2013. Mitigating factors were that they cooperated with staff's investigation and they did agree to enter into a settlement early in the process before the issuance of a probable cause report, and they have no prior enforcement history.
Thank you. Do any of my fellow commissioners have any questions or comments?
Just curious, the people who make up the taxi cooperative, the individuals, have they, when we do investigations, do we look to see if they, the individuals, have prior enforcement or have been involved in other issues previously, separate and apart from their involvement with the subject LA Taxi Cooperative?
I can't speak to the individuals who make up the cooperative. Do you have knowledge of who those individuals are?
No.
No. We look only at the principal officers on the Independent Expenditure Committee and whether or not that committee itself has previously had any violations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just actually appreciated that it wasn't written as a standard 50% deduction.
Thank you. I don't have any further questions. We do have one comment, so thank you. Mr. Kwan.
Thank you, and my comments are general, not specific to this case or controversy, but whatever work we're doing here, the biggest concern amongst our council offices are independent expenditures and what, you know, kind of outputs there are there. And I think looking forward, it would allay a lot of fears to really look at our enforcement practices with independent expenditures and move to a system where we maybe have a little more flexibility and we can account for, you know, a lot more of the factors that actually are involved in these cases. Really quickly, I'm trying to go downstairs too, so I just wanted to take a moment to thank the commissioners. Today's a big day. We're finally moving forward with Councilmember Bonin's amendment, and you know, it's pretty crazy to think that we're actually in a place where we're moving forward with a 6-to-1 match. We're increasing matching funds. In 2020, we're going to have increased early vote for a 10-day period. We're going to be aligning with state and federal elections. For the first time, many of those voters are going to be voting in a municipal election. We actually given them something they can believe in. To quote our vice president, this is a big fucking deal. So I really do appreciate all of your time and effort on these issues because, you know, it requires a lot of work on your free time. They're not here today, but you get a whole lot of abuse from Mr. Spindler and Mr. Herman. So I really do appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to thank our community partners for working with us on the proposals that we put before the City Council. So it's all about a partnership. So we really appreciate the community members for participating. Do we have a motion on the proposed stipulation with regards to the Safe Transportation Pact?
I move to approve the stipulation as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion carries. Moving on to the recusals. Ms. Orton has now come back into the room. Thank you. Mr. Joseph.
Good morning. Tyler Joseph, Director of Policy. And before you, you have a recusal review from Mr. Mel Levine, who is the President of the Board of Water and Power Commissioners. Mr. Levine has been the subject of four previous recusal reviews. All of those have stemmed from the same interest, which is his partnership in the law firm of Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher. That's the case with the recusal before you. As with the previous recusal reviews, we have determined that this conflict of interest is not significant in terms of number or impact, and we are recommending that no divestment of this interest be required. And to that effect, you can adopt the resolution in Attachment D.
Thank you. Any questions from the commissioners? Do I have a?
I move we accept the recusal review. And the resolution.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Moving on to item number six, the recusal of Pedram Salimpour.
All right, thank you. So item six, another recusal review, Mr. Pedram Salimpour from the Fire and Police Pensions Board. Mr. Salimpour is recusing himself on matters that relate to his wife's employment as a doctor for a healthcare company that potentially had business before the board. As with the review of Mr. Levine, we determined that these recusals from Mr. Salimpour were not significant in terms of number or impact, and we recommend that no divestment be required of this interest as well. And for that purpose, we've included Attachment D, which is the resolution that recommends formally that no divestment be required.
Any inquiry from any of the commissioners? Seeing none.
I will move to adopt the recommendation and adopt the resolution in Attachment D.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. These are all of our action items. We're doing great on time, lightning speed. As far as items number seven, is there any comment from the commission staff on any of those items?
Staff would be happy to answer questions or make a presentation if you would like, but in the interest of time, that's not necessary.
Thank you. I do have one comment on item number 10, Kuyen Tu from the Alliance for Justice.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Quinn Tu, and I am Southern California Counsel with Alliance for Justice. Just as a brief introduction, Alliance for Justice is a national association of more than 130 organizations representing a broad array of nonprofits and foundations committed to civil rights, social and economic, and environmental justice. We're here today to express our concerns regarding the proposed behested payment regulations that the City Ethics Commission recently recommended to the City Council adopt. And we're just concerned that there are unintended consequences from the ban for soliciting payments from restricted sources, which could make it more difficult for nonprofits to raise money with the help of elected officials and to further their mission. So we look forward to providing any additional input on the May 14th town hall meeting that's scheduled. And at this time, that's it for my comments.
Thank you. The only thing I was going to say is to remind you about the town hall meeting if you didn't already know about it. So we look forward to seeing you there.
Yes, we have that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Executive Director.
Yes, thank you. I would just mention that it might be useful to at least have a presentation regarding the policy update since there has been a lot of movement on those issues.
Yes, thank you.
So this is about item 10, our policy update. I would start with, as was previously mentioned, the adjustments to the matching funds program, specifically the changes that were approved by this commission relating to the debate town hall requirement and the adjustment of the aggregate contribution threshold. Both of those are, as we previously mentioned, going to be before council in just a few minutes. And then next we have the technical updates to our bidder disclosure requirements and the campaign filing schedules. Both of those were approved by City Council and have been sent to the City Attorney's Office for the drafting of an ordinance. And finally, the item on behested payments and non-individual contributions. The Rules Committee recommended the City Council ask the City Attorney's Office to prepare two draft ordinances, one that reflects the Ethics Commission's proposals and one that reflects the, Council Member Rue's letter and motion, which you can see in Attachment E on Item 10, which is the policy update. The Rules Committee also asked us, as was previously mentioned, to hold two town hall meetings to solicit additional feedback from the impacted communities, one from campaign treasurers and the other for the nonprofit community. Of course, the general public is welcome to attend either of those meetings, but those will be on May 14th. And you are welcome to submit written comment. I want to make everybody aware through our website, through ethics.policy@lacity.org, we can take any comment in advance of the meeting, and we hope to see everyone who would like to attend there.
Thank you.
Perhaps you would want to outline for us briefly the difference between the two proposals, our proposal and that Councilman Rue presented?
Well, at this point, a large portion of that is going to be the purview of the City Attorney's Office. They are being requested to draft the two different ordinances. At this point, this commission and our staff will not really have any input on that, specifically with respect to Council Member Rue's motion. So I think those questions would probably be best answered by the City Attorney's Office.
I take it it's in progress, but
Madam City Attorney.
Good morning, Commissioners. Yes, we will be closely reviewing this and looking at all the issues. The council's motion doesn't have as much detail as your proposal, and so that will be an issue that we're trying to deal with as the matter moves through City Council, and hopefully we can get a little bit more clarity.
Yeah, just for another point of clarification, with regards to Councilman Rue's motion, it talks about the different lands, the different sizes, or is the city attorney also asked to entertain ordinances with regards to his proposal, which is different than our
recommendation? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last
part. She was helping me clarify Rue's proposals with regards to the different size of the different developer projects.
Clearly, that is one of the primary differences between the council's proposals and the Ethics Commission proposal. The motion was very clear that requesting an exemption for projects that have 4,000 square feet or less addition or construction for residential and 15,000 square feet or less for commercial property. That part is very clear.
Thank you.
Can you share with us a little bit about the process of integrating input from those town hall meetings into any revision?
Sure. So these proposals, as you obviously know, have moved through the Ethics Commission. Our involvement in the actual tailoring of the policies at this point is complete. We've made and approved our recommendations. So while we will be soliciting feedback, we in effect will be soliciting feedback for the City Council. We'll be taking this from the nonprofit community, from the treasurers, and we will be acting more as a repository in this case, taking the feedback and passing it along to the different council offices to help them make decisions that they're ultimately going to need to make.
Right. Which probably does include written presentations, maybe even what you've done so much in the past, where you have two separate proposals and show the exact differences and in which proposals, at least I would expect that, right?
Yes, we will certainly need to package the commentary that we receive to make it as easy to use as possible. And we will also participate in the ongoing meetings. And so we will be there to remind everyone and clarify what our recommendations are.
Right.
Yes.
And I know that this is true, that all of us as commissioners are invited to attend any of the meetings, as we did, as both of us attended the Rules Committee before.
Absolutely. It was wonderful to have both President Murray and Vice President Orden at the Rules Committee meeting on Wednesday, and the invitation is open to all of you for any meeting. We will keep you posted when we know more about when that will be back before Council. The report back after the town hall meetings was requested within 45 days, so it may be a while before that's scheduled again, but we will definitely keep you posted.
I think that the last time I voted for the package, as y'all know, but I did feel, and maybe others felt too, that there wasn't a lot of comprehensive nonprofit representation that happened to be with us at the last meeting, unfortunately. And so that pertains more to the behested payments issue, because I think it's a matter of tweaking some of the exemptions in terms of what it'd be super helpful if we got written examples of what the community would want to see, particularly because we're in an era of so much private public partnership. I'm referring to things where foundations are partnering, as I mentioned last time, with government to fund initiatives together. One example is the LA Justice Fund, and our intention, or the spirit of what we passed, wasn't to diminish that, or wasn't to prevent that from happening, but I'm not sure that the nonprofit community feels that the exemptions were written to capture that kind of activity, and maybe there's other things that they would consider, and I say that because we just didn't have that voice, enough of those voices in the room last time. So I think this will be very helpful.
We agree. And to that end, I would also note that we will be putting updates on our website about the meetings, and we will be sending out an invitation to the nonprofit community and to the treasurers, and we are compiling lists of different people in the nonprofit community who would like to receive that. So that information will go out today to make sure that it's as widely distributed as possible so we can get more of that feedback.
As we all know, we got overwhelming, pretty much unilateral support. I think 600 email, right?
700.
700 email supporting, and nothing against contrary. So it's a lot of support there. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Well, without further ado, unless any more comments from any of the commissioners, thank you for your input today. This meeting is adjourned at 9:55. I went back to old school kind of watch, and I can't even know. I don't even know how to tell time anymore. So thank you. And let's all run like bandits.